Would you join me in a word of prayer? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all those who hear those words prove acceptable in your sight, my strength, my redeemer. Amen. So we are at, I've loved this series. I know some of you have also really appreciated the series because I've gotten that feedback, and I know some of you have not responded and probably don't like it. That's okay. That's okay. So all series, all messages bless people unevenly, and that also is okay. But when this is gone, I'm going to miss it, and you guys are going to miss the stick figure stuff that I've been drawing. You're not thinking that you're going to, but you're going to. I'm already kind of missing it a little bit. And this series has been This Is Us, and it's been talking about the us of family. But it goes greater than just that. We've just quick review. We talked about in the very first week, we talked about the power of the first relationship, the mom and dad, and how that lends power to the rest of the family. We talked about, in that second week, we talked about discipline versus punishment and how it's necessary for us to become self-disciplined. It's a blessing when it's done through love. We talked about not keeping score in that third week and how we overcome just the, I did this for you and you didn't do that for me kind of thing. But we have just relationship where we recognize that the people that we're in relationship are flawed, and yet we love them anyway. We strive to be more Christ-like than the scorekeeper because we don't really keep score as fairly as we think we do. Last week, anybody remember what we did last week? Okay. Oh, wait, that was the village. That was the me relying on. I actually did forget, which is terrible. I didn't write any of this down. Going beyond that nuclear family, which is so prominent in today, where we think this is all we need, just me and my spouse and our kids, and we don't need to reach out any further, and how the extended family, whether that's through blood or through other relationships, is really necessary to help us maintain our sanity in some cases. And I know that we have such a mix here that some of you think, well, I've already got that. Well, that's great, but you may need to invite someone into that if you already have that covered. And certainly if you're just relying on that small individual nuclear family, you may need to reach outside. Today we're talking about the power of the us in This Is Us. And what I'm going to tell you today is it's going to be a really simple idea. But what I don't want you to do is dismiss it because it's so simple. The simple ideas all the time have real power, and we just don't think about it, We want to say it has to be complex to really have power, and that's not true. I believe in Jesus Christ, He's my Lord and Savior. That's a pretty simple idea, right? But how powerful is that? Don't chuck out the weeds, Don't exclude, include. Pretty simple idea. There's power in simple ideas. So the challenge is going to be staying with that. So without further ado, I begin with an overhead of the stick figures. Right? We've seen this before, though, right? A lot of families kind of look like this. You can pick and choose up from the top all these little activities and then assemble them on the back of your car or whatever. And what you end up with is a This Is Us sort of personalized version, right? And it may look something like this, where dad's golfing, your mom has a little scrapbook thing going on, you got your daughter's playing guitar, your son's playing football, and you think, well, this is our us. This is us. And I want to challenge that idea today, because really, this isn't us so much as this is him and her and her and him. This is really a bunch of me's. And it's hard for us to see that because in America, we have this fierce, fierce individuality where we raise that up and we really resist the idea of us because we're afraid that the me is going to get smothered by that. But we're missing something when we hold up the individual at the expense of the us. What we really end up being is an ice cube tray where we have a whole bunch of little ice cubes that are loosely connected, but they're all individual, and individually, they really don't have any power at all. A ship will just cruise right through a bunch of ice cubes. But if you want to know about the power of us, think about an iceberg and Google Titanic. You know, and you'll see the power of us. You know, family has become really just another name for individual achievement. And while each of these things is good in and of itself, the us, the overall, is just missing something. And that's what I'm going to challenge you to talk about today. We're going to begin in the book of Ephesians. I didn't look it up. If you have one of the Bibles back there, this is going to be like getting close to the end. This is one of the letters, I think maybe the fifth letter in, once Paul starts writing and you get past the Gospels and Acts and all that kind of stuff. You take notes if you like. If not, we're going to have everything up here, so you'll be able to follow along right there. Paul, writing to the Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 1, he begins this way. Paul says, "I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord," he actually was a prisoner at this time, this is one of the letters he wrote from prison, "urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called." Now, we're going to come back to that, the calling which you have been called, a little bit later, so I want you to remember that. But at the same time, this sort of addresses everybody in a way, it's like a father-son talk, right? You can see this, Mufasa talking to Simba this way, right? "You are more than what you have become." He wants you to really, really grasp everything that you're meant to be. So again, we're going to come back, just remember the you and the calling and all that kind of stuff. But we continue on. He says, "With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. That's a lot of ones, isn't it? Doesn't that really stand out? And it's talking about unity there. It's a powerful idea, and it's an idea that's really going to lend itself to that sentence that I just asked you to remember. See, I didn't ask you to remember too long. The calling to which you have been called. So I have a little grammar question for you here. We can come back to that. The you, when it's talking about the calling to which you have been called, the you means what? Me individually? Does it mean Mike? Does it mean Dale? Does it mean Lori? Does it mean Dana? It's not a bad way to listen to or to read the Bible. I can still remember the first time that really jumped out at the page at me when Jesus was asking Peter, "Who do you say I am?" It's a powerful thing to think that Jesus is not just talking to Peter, but talking to you in particular and individually. But unfortunately, or fortunately for our purposes here today, that's not what Paul means. The English language is kind of difficult that way. We don't have a you plural and a you singular. Well, as a matter of fact, thank you very much, Dale. But it's not just y'all in the South. Y'all can somehow mean a singular person. I don't know how that works. But all y'all is unmistakably you guys. Where I grew up, it was you guys. And maybe, I think it's the same here. It's you guys if you're talking, you know, in the New York area. But all y'all is what Paul is talking about. Now, it gets tricky, though, here. So if he's talking to all y'all, is he talking about all the individual callings that all y'all have? Or one single calling? He's actually talking about a single calling. You see how this gets a little bit more complicated? Because if I were to ask you, what is your individual calling? Or maybe you already know. Or maybe you could go home and you could think about it. I mean, we have these spiritual gift kind of things. You know, you could figure out what your individual calling is. But that's not what he's saying. What essentially he's saying is the single calling that all of y'all have. And this is the powerful idea, because this is what gives power to the us. But it gets more complicated still, because you could say you're going to have just one calling that everybody has and kind of hammer them into that at the expense of the individual. And Paul doesn't do that. He continues, as a matter of fact, if we go on to verse 7, Paul says this, "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift." See, Paul is going to raise up individuality. And I could go on and quote both this letter and then a lot of other letters where he talks about the body. You probably have read these before. He talks about eyes and ears and feet and hands and all these different parts of the body, and really lifts up individual gifts. In other letters, he talks about some have the gift of preaching, some have the gift of prophecy, some have the gift of hospitality, or tongues, which we deny as Lutherans. We don't talk about tongues, right? But all these different gifts, he's gifted everybody individually. And yet, what he's talking about here is that all of these individual gifts need to work together for one single calling, one single purpose. You know, the Industrial Revolution gets this wrong, just trying to make us all cogs in the wheel. And education, when it goes really wrong, I think, treats all students the same, no matter what their particular gifts are. But to do this well is to take all of our individual gifts, but not just let us go off doing our own thing like this, to focus them all together toward a single purpose. And that's where the us really shines. But that is really difficult. We've been talking about family. And in that case, you can do this for any us. It's going to transcend family. But to do this for a family, what you need to do first is to determine what the us really is meant to be doing, called to be. And then try to figure out all the little pieces and parts and how everybody can work together toward that common calling. So that's it. That's what you need to do in the message, right? I mean, it's a simple idea, but it's really difficult. So let me try and give you some examples. I read a book a while ago, both Jen and I love Donald Miller. If you've never read any Donald, there you go, right there. A Million Miles, A Thousand Years. He's a terrific Christian writer. And in this book, it's not really the subject of the book, he's really talking about writing a better story, but in the story of the book, he includes a lot of examples. One of the examples is a family. It's a Christian family, and you find out that everything's going just fine, everything's great, until the daughter in this family starts dating this loser. Guys, he's too old for her. He treats her really badly, which is worse. And then still worse, I'd say, his influence over her has really drawn her farther and farther away from God. So he does what all of us oblivious dads would do and says, "You need to dump this guy. He's no good for you." And she does, ladies, you know this. She does exactly what every daughter would do in that case and says, "Forget you, Dad. You can't tell me how to live my own life. I'm going to date who I want to date." And no matter what he says to her, she just digs her heels in more and more and more. And he can't make her leave this guy, even though maybe she knew. I mean, I've known people who, even if she was thinking about dumping him at the time, if Dad says you need to dump him, she says, "There ain't no way I'm dumping him now, right? I got to date him at least another year just because you told me not to." Now, dads, I know that probably a lot of you are thinking, "I got two solutions for that." You go knock on his door and say, "I got a shovel and a shotgun," right? He doesn't go that way. He's got a slightly more legal solution, although it seems a lot more radical. So what he does in the book is he takes out a loan, a second mortgage, actually, on his house for $25,000, not to get a hitman. Don't just stop thinking that way. He takes out a loan for $25,000 because he finds out that that is how much it would cost to build an orphanage in a third world country. He tells his family that he's done this. He, you know, spends $25,000 on this orphanage, and his wife says, "You're crazy, you're going to destroy this family." But the longer they sit under this idea and the longer they kind of let it stew, the more and more and more they come to get behind it. And the daughter starts researching what life is like for the orphans in this country. And then she starts raising awareness among her friends. The son actually researches what it would cost and what it would be like to go take a trip there. Starts planning the trip so they can all just not build this place, but they can go and see the place and see who's involved in it and meet the people. And that daughter, all on her own, dumps the guy, right? Because she sees that what she's about, what the us of that family is about, is not what he's about. And says, you know, I've outgrown you. You're bad for me. And the thing that dad could never have done by just confronting this, he is able to do. And why is he able to do that? Because he knew the heartbeat, the single heartbeat of the us of this family, and was courageous enough to take the steps to pursue that. And that united them into a single and powerful us. Now, that's not really going to apply for everybody here, right? In fact, even if you were courageous enough to go home right now, you know, get a second mortgage and try and buy an orphanage in a third world country, that might not and probably would not work for you, because that may not be your family's heartbeat. Remember, he researched and found out what they were all about. You all remember probably this movie, National Lampoon's Vacation. And part of the reason that it went so very wrong, I mean, it's a comedy, we're not going to, you know, analyze a comedy like it has the meaning of life in it, but part of the real problem here is Clark Griswold didn't care what his family wanted, right? Nobody wanted to go on that trip, but he imposed his will on everybody else. And because he did that, well, disaster had to follow. And I would say that the same thing is true of all of us. If we don't find and do the hard work to find out what we are all about as a family, or as whatever the us is that you want to label, then maybe we don't just jump the car 50 feet. But disaster is going to follow. And it doesn't have to be quite as extreme either. Our family, well, I don't know if you guys have ever seen the Beatles rock band, but I'll tell you, our family comes together. My own personal family comes together doing this one family activity in a way that we don't with other family activities. You know, we plan vacations like a lot of you have probably planned, where everybody has their own thing, right? Or maybe, Dad, you're not going to have your thing now. We're all just going to go to this place where the whole family wants to go to, and we'll go to some place you like next. But it's not an individual thing. The Beatles rock band is pretty cool because you all get together. Everybody plays an instrument. We have five. We have more people than instruments. But there's harmony that you can sing on there. And so we all get together. We just did this in the past weeks when the whole family was there. Got 5 stars on everything. And it was an accomplishment. It was awesome. And we were all behind it. I mean, we started to feel that power of us together. Now, I'm not going to suggest that that's a calling worthy of the calling to which we have all been called, right? But if you would just experiment with that a little bit, I think you will begin to see the power of us all together. You know, we come up across this all the time, where if the families actually get together on anything at all, it seems like what they're focused on is mom and dad making more money so that they can have a nicer house. And that's not a calling to which, you know, it's not worthy of our calling. We're meant for more than just that. Or they work to where we can do more of these individual activities, so we'll have more free time to do more individual things than that. That's not what we're meant to do. We're meant for more than this. Well, I have an example that I'd like to kind of close with. This is, we should all say a quick little prayer to see if this video is going to work. It's been a long time coming. We have here is this is Ryan Moore, who's actually from Puyallup, by the way. He's a top probably 10 American golfer. And this is him winning. You can go ahead and roll it, and we'll see if it rolls. If it doesn't, then I'll just keep talking. This is the John Deere Open. You probably never heard of him before, and you may or may not have heard of the John Deere Open. It's not one of the major championships, but it's still kind of a big deal. Golf is an extremely individual sport. Here he is with the final hole. By the way, he's going to putt, win the John Deere Open, and that's, I think it was $860,000 that he makes with that putt right there. And here's his, yep, here we go. tip the hat, and that's it. Not too much of a celebration, but kind of what you would expect from golf. This is why golf, by the way, is the classic Sunday afternoon napping kind of activity, right? But again, that's $860,000 he just won and a 3-year exemption from having to qualify to stay a professional on the tour. Kind of a big deal. And yet, yeah, thank you. All right. You know. Now we have Brooks Koepka. This is the U.S. Open, a much bigger deal. The purse just went over $2 million. You get a fist pump, right? A couple fist pumps. Going to give a little high five to the caddy. And then we don't get to see. I couldn't find any footage of this. But he kind of recovers, and it just turns into the nod, wave. And that's pretty much it. Again, not exactly snoozing. You don't want to see somebody pulling out a Sharpie and whatever, little NFL kind of things. But this individual sport, every 2 years, is transformed. And it's transformed when it comes to this thing called the Ryder Cup, where an individual sport becomes a team sport. You have a captain. You have 12 members of this team. The prize money is a 12-way split between nothing, because there isn't any prize money. But this thing is going to become a different game. Well, because what you're going to see right here. Now, you already see more emotion from guys in the very first place. And this is Friday. This is the first day of competition. This isn't Sunday when they're actually winning something. And the announcers that I'm just talking over right now says a Ryder Cup has never won or lost on a Friday. And yet they're already more pumped up for little things than they were for the championship, the U.S. Open championship. Brooks Koepka, that will be on his resume for the rest of his life. And by the way, Brooks and Ryan Moore are on the Ryder Cup. You're going to see them as they flash past here. The Euros, man, those guys, now Rory's pretty good, but you see guys who aren't even that good who play out of their minds when it comes to the Ryder's Cup. And you look at Rory here. Yeah! This is Saturday. This still isn't even the last day. The pressure starts to mount. Failures, missed putts. You see, it just crushes people. And again, bigger, more emotion. I know some of you think, I don't want to see emotion for my guys. But you can see it starts to mean, again, more and more. You miss it, it kills you. And it builds and it builds. Look at Sergio going crazy. You have, I guess you sometimes have people dressed up weird. The fan, wait, that's not a fan. That's Snedeker right there. That's one of the golfers. That's not the final hole. Look how pumped up he is. Bad dancing. Oh, Cooch, don't dance. Phil Mickelson, stay with the fist pump. I don't know what you're doing there. And I got to stay with this because... And when do you see this in golf? Rory telling the crowd, you just be quiet. I'm going to win this. And he's wrong. Bad vertical jumping, fist pumps and screaming and all that. There's Brooks Koepka again. And pushing the United States across the finish line, it was Ryan Moore, that transformed an individual game into something more. That just doesn't even look like golf anymore, right? That's like arena football versus, you know, the NFL. It made it something different. Now just imagine for a moment that happening, maybe not quite so much drinking, that happening with your us, with your family, with this us here. You know, we've been pursuing getting a new building, but that's not a calling that's worthy of us. Haiti is a calling that's worthy of us. This school is a calling that's worthy of us. I think the Everett Cooker, you know, there's all kinds of callings that are worthy of us. And if you don't find one, then you're not becoming all that we're meant to become. And if we're just off doing all our own things, we're less than what we could become. So I'm going to encourage you, each and every one of you, whatever your us is, whatever you want to become transformed, like that game of golf just became transformed, pursue that. Do the research. And don't be afraid, heaven forbid, to ask God for a dream. To ask God to give you the heartbeat of your us, and the courage to pursue it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that we would do just that, that you would speak in the hearts of all your people as we leave this place, as we ponder this letter that your servant Paul wrote so many years ago, when he asks us to use all of our individuality together for a calling that's worthy of what you've called us to do. Now, Father, I ask the same for this church, the larger us, this body, Lamb of God, that you would continue to define what you would have us do, and that you would continue to unite us to accomplish that. Because with you, transformation is real. It's amazing. I just ask that we